The views expressed on ExoPolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is ExoPolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. ExoPolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions and can be heard worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which remain free and open as a service to the public 24/7. No matter where and how you are listening to this radio program now, be it on one of our affiliates or on your automobile stereo or on your local radio program, you can visit our audio archives on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. ExoPolitics Radio is a listener-sponsored station and remains so because of your generous contributions. ExoPolitics Radio is broadcast weekly on Mondays at 9 p.m. Central Time on UPRN 105.8 FM New Orleans and can be heard on our online affiliates, which include Paranormal Radio Network, Revere Radio Network, Kansas City Online Radio. And we are heard in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the USA and, of course, in Canada. I am your host, Alfred Weber, and this week we are continuing with our feature interview, this time direct live from New Delhi, India, with Mr. Combe Carpentier, who is editor of World Affairs, the Journal of International Issues, which is an international journal that is read by top academics, diplomats, and scholars throughout the world, and which is, in this September 2008, publishing for the first time an entire issue devoted to the subject of exopolitics, the new political science of outer space. So this will be an opportunity to open the paradigm and widen the perspectives at the top echelons of diplomacy, academia, and other arenas of scholarship on the planet. And before we get to our feature interview with Combe Carpentier, we'd like to address our official ExoPolitics Radio commentary, which, as you know, we've been having a continuous direct line of commentary using the extraterrestrial context communication theory of extraterrestrial communication, which holds that many, if not all, genuine interactions with upper-dimensional extraterrestrials, as they are more evolved, intelligent civilizations, are actually also high-content symbolic communications, much in the way that a dream, for example, is a symbolic communication from our subconscious mind to our conscious mind, and which can be interpreted using dream dictionaries, and that we can learn a great deal by beginning to look at and discern extraterrestrial encounters, such as UFO encounters, using the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communications. And one such important UFO encounter that we've been examining here on ExoPolitics Radio as being particularly impactful and meaningful from the exopolitical standpoint has been the Chicago O'Hare sighting of November 7th, 2006 at Chicago O'Hare Airport, where about 4:30 in the afternoon, what was described as between a 6 or 20 or even 60 foot wide extraterrestrial scout craft came down upon United Airlines gate C-17. I've actually been on recently on United Airlines Concourse C there and past gate C-17. It was interesting to do so in that context, and that as was witnessed by the entire crew, the ground crew there that was either bringing in or pushing out the aircraft, by the pilots. There's records that the aircraft controller witnessed the queries of the pilots and of the ground crew, and even the FAA witnessed this. And as a result of freedom of information, the transcripts were in fact made public, and this made public most of the mainstream media. Now, from a context communication point of view, what was very interesting, of course, is the date of that encounter, which was November 7, 2006, because that's midterm election date in the United States. And on that election day, the neocons lost control of both houses of Congress, and they lost control of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. And what was very significant at that point, and I do recall because I was, as a public interest attorney, on the radio, and there's great concern in Patriot Radio and in those circles in which I was very active, that at that stage, a police state was going to be implemented through the agency of the Bush-Cheney administration in the executive as fronts for the New World Order, and using the Patriot Act, using the Military Commissions Act, which held U.S. citizens to be enemy combatants, using various other components of a martial law matrix. And with the loss of control of both houses of Congress at that point, the forces of the New World Order and those forces that had implemented the false flag operation of 9/11 and that had brought in George W. Bush, who incidentally, there's over 100 pages of analysis, deep analysis of hermeneutics, which is the analysis of biblical prophecy now, which is done by a very eminent scholar, that George W. Bush is in fact, or may be, what they call the Antichrist in the biblical prophecies. And we'll be posting that at exopolitics.com. And so you can go and read it there. And so in that sense, that extraterrestrial context communication theory interpretation of that sighting is very important. It's also very important because it has shown, and it was showing, that the democratic process and elections would be very important. And it highlighted that Chicago is the home city of a being who has virtually revolutionized electoral politics in that very jurisdiction where the New World Order had taken place and where George W. Bush had attempted to implement a police state, and that is the United States, and that is Barack Obama, Senator Barack Obama from Illinois. Secondarily, Senator Hillary Clinton, of course, grew up in Chicago, but it's Senator Barack Obama is from Illinois. And also, that citing from a context communication point of view highlighted that the electoral process would be very important and that participating in it would be very important. And since 2006, the process of the Democratic and the primary process for the presidency became a very engaging thing, especially the process of the competition between Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Barack Obama, then a virtual unknown in U.S. and world politics. And that has kept the U.S. body politic engaged till the early summer of 2008 and brought out a record number of new voters and re-energized the U.S. body politic after it was virtually anesthetized and killed off, which was the goal of the police state implemented after 9/11 by the forces of the George W. Bush and its New World Order police state matrix and martial law matrix, so that the electoral process that the competition between Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton took actually awakened the body politic of the United States and prevented a second false flag operation from taking place, which would have canceled the presidential elections of November 4th to 2008. And so that brings us up to the week of August 25th to 28th, immediately preceding this broadcast on August 30th, 2008, which is at the Democratic National Convention. And here we have what was predicted as a Donnybrook between Senator Hillary Clinton, the forces of the Clinton forces, and the Obama forces. And it is sort a remarkable triumph that a relatively unknown politician has single-handedly not only won the Democratic National nomination for presidency, being nominated this week and giving his nomination speech at Mile High Stadium in Denver, the home of the Denver Broncos. No one has done that since John F. Kennedy, sort of the last light being to be, that is, a light being incarnated as U.S. president, a high extraterrestrial being, an upper dimensional extraterrestrial being who is incarnated as a human being, who is incarnated as president. And so we'd like to sort of frame that as the possibility for Barack Obama. And that is that if you go to www.exopolitics.com, you will see at the top there is on the sidebar a category called Latest Disclosure News. And in that, there's a sidebar called Breaking 2012 News. And that is to a new website that we've started called 2012, A Golden Age. And we have there a whole category called Breaking 2012 News. And you can read articles there, for example, an essay by Matthew called 2012 and Obama. That is, how does Barack Obama figure into 2012? And the analysis there is that of all of the political figures out there now, Barack Obama is actually a light being. He's a light being that has incarnated, much as was John F. Kennedy. There is a qualitative difference between Obama and all of the other political candidates in the sense that this gentleman is an actual light being, an upper dimensional, extraterrestrial, or interdimensional being who has incarnated for the purpose of restorative justice after the debacle of the Bush regime of George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney, both of whom, as you may recall, Richard B. Cheney was a year ahead of me, flunked out of Yale as a sophomore. He was ahead of me at Yale. George W. was a couple of years behind me. So I've been dealing with these two dark forces for quite a bit of time. We're in the class of 64, so I've been dealing with them for 48 years. And now we have a light being that has come in, and there is quite a bit of dimensional information coming in. I mean, this is always mediated through the consciousness of the whatever the channel is, in the case of Matthew through Susie Ward, and in, there's other through the Galactic Federation and other channelers, which we'll be posting at this latest 2012 news. It's under a different category from Exopolitics. It's less objective, but still it's valid information. And all of this information is pointing to the dimension as of Barack Obama as a light being. And this is very important because it means that the being underneath there is coming from a different dimension. He's coming from an upper dimensional perspective. And that is why this relates back to the Chicago O'Hare sighting of November 7th, 2006, and perhaps through the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communications, this again is what the context communication theory was pointing out that it was leading to a signaling of Barack Obama from Illinois, that there would be a long electoral and political, first of all, that midterm elections, they would lose both houses of Congress. The neocons would lose both houses of Congress. The Democrats would gain it back. That would stop the police state. We would then have a long primary system, primary election between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama that would re-energize the American body politic. And after the long dormancy in the Bush satanic regime, and again, you can go to exopolitics.com and read those documents and judge for yourself as to whether George W. Bush was indeed, you know, the lawless one, the Antichrist under various forms of biblical prophecy. This is an analysis by biblical scholar Robert Mendelsohn. And finally, then we come to all of these analyses that begin to hold that Barack Obama may in fact be a being of light. And there are even some recent ones that hold that suddenly we may have a government of light coming into being. Perhaps that's the Obama administration. So this is a very interesting development from an exopolitics point of view. And this has been an official Exopolitics Radio commentary. Please stay tuned for our feature interview with Comb Carpentier, direct from New Delhi, India, editor of World Affairs, the Journal of International Issues. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and I'm speaking to New Delhi, India, and with our special guest today, Comb Carpentier, who's the editor of World Affairs, the Journal of International Issues. Welcome, Comb.
Thank you, Alfred. Good morning. I guess it's good evening to you in Canada.
Right. You know, I can remember when you were a very gracious host to myself and to independent scientist Loren Murray, when we were there in March, I guess it was, of 2007, as guests of J.C. Kapoor and yourself and World Affairs magazine. What is the situation there now since we were there?
Are you referring to the situation with regard to exopolitics specifically?
Yes.
You know, the situation generally hasn't changed very much because, as you are aware, there is an embargo, a truth embargo, still weighing on all issues connected to exopolitics, ufology, and related disciplines. So the problem is that, in fact, we were discussing this a few days ago with some very prominent Indian scientists, some of whom are advisors to the government of India in various capacities. And the greatest difficulty in going further in the investigation and disclosure of this issue is that the facts that are available for scrutiny are generally, you know, of the same order. They are relatively vague, and even when they are very precise, what you are dealing with are, of course, large numbers of sightings, sometimes other phenomena associated with sightings. And yet, it seems to be very difficult to put one's finger on the body of evidence that lies beneath these. So, naturally, I think the reason why ufologists have had a hard time is that people keep asking for more to understand what's going on. And then, of course, what they see are many thousands of cases of, you know, lights in the sky, sometimes objects landing, some traces. But it seems to go in a circle, and that's where your contribution and the contribution of other founders of the exopolitics science is very important, because it allows one to go beyond the mere chronicling of unexplained events, which is what has mostly taken place until now.
Right. You know, if we look at this year, 2008, in many ways, Comey, it's been very extraordinary in that many of the major nations, I would say the major Western nations, if we look at France, England, etc., the UK, they've begun to leak out or dump some of their major secret UFO files out into the public, perhaps not with that much interpretation or framing. In India, does the Indian government even keep secret UFO files? Do they have a department? Does the Indian intelligence service maintain any sort of, shall we say, liaison with the extraterrestrial world or with other intelligence agencies that are monitoring the extraterrestrial world?
To the best of my knowledge and belief, no. There is no organized record-keeping or investigation. And I could say that with some degree of confidence, because I have discussed it with both civilian and military planners and people who should know, because they are, you might say, in India, in the secrets of the gods. They are very close to the decision-making centers. And they tell me that there hasn't been any organized, systematic attempt to establish a policy and to define a vision and a strategy. The reason for this seems to be that the politically correct ideology, which is ruling the scientific establishment worldwide, is very effective in India too, and it has convinced most officially recognized scientists that it is not good for their careers and credibility to investigate these matters, and that the entire topic, the entire field of exopolitics or ufology, is essentially beyond the pale. That if you want to be a serious scientist and have international and national recognition, you simply cannot afford to take it seriously. Therefore, what we have done, and you know this already, in fact, this is one of the reasons for your kind offer to speak on Exopolitics Radio today, is that we are bringing out the summer 2008 issue of the World Affairs Journal, which should come out in about 2 weeks by middle of September, which is largely dedicated to exopolitics. There are articles by you, by Paul Hellyer, the former Canadian Deputy Prime Minister and Defense Minister, by Nick Pope, the former head of the British Ministry of Defense investigative desk, by Michael Sala, your partner in the exopolitics, you might say among the fathers or the godfathers of exopolitics, and then also by Paola Harris, by Antonello Lupino from Italy, by Brent Smith, who is a young student who has done a very perceptive analysis of the psychological and moral implications of the exopolitical disclosure, and then by myself, who have tried to, in a fairly long article, to analyze the situation and to give a general overview of where we are going, particularly suitable for an audience that is not cognizant, that is not well educated about this. Because it is true that most people in India have still no idea of what we are talking about here today, and they assume that this is all mumbo-jumbo, broadly speaking. It's quite amazing, though, because the number of, as you just said, the number of official and semi-official statements affirming the reality of the UFO presence have been quite thought-provoking and influential, but most people seem to simply have ignored them. I think the human mind is conditioned that this is simply not taken seriously. And, for example, all the programs that took place on CNN, there were some programs on the Indian television network called CNN-IBN, which is a joint venture between an Indian television organization and CNN. And that has also been largely ignored, at least in the official circles, even though they showed some films. They showed the film taken by Pac-Man in Colorado. They showed some films from some photographs of the moon you know, in the NASA archives, and they ask very probing questions. They say that the Americans have been hiding all they know about the extraterrestrial reality. But again, this seems to be generally for a broad public, but the elites have simply not even taken notice, and we are trying to change that.
Well, you know, this is very interesting, Kome, because as I understand it, World Affairs is a journal that is read by diplomats and scholars and academics, not only in India, but throughout the world. And I wondered if you could give us just a brief sketch of who the readers of World Affairs generally are.
You know, we mostly address academic audiences. We have a lot of universities among our subscribers. In fact, probably more than 80% of our subscribers are institutions. So you're talking about universities, think tanks, research centers, libraries, a number of diplomatic and political entities, political parties, members of parliament, members of governments, and again, independent academics. We have more than 300 contributors who have written for us in the last 10 years. You are one of them. And some of them are, of course, very prominent, all the way from the Prime Minister of India to the former Secretary General of the UN to one of the Deputy Prime Ministers of China. Anyway, I could go on giving fairly prestigious names. And so I think that we have achieved, even though we are controversial at times and we do take up very controversial issues, we have achieved a wide degree of acceptance. And that is because we have generally taken a fairly balanced view. We have tried to show various opinions and contrast them. And, you know, we are trying in this particular issue, which is coming out now, we are trying not to be pigeonholed into the ufological literature, because once you get set into that field, then anybody who is not interested in it will simply ignore you and say, oh, well, this is another ufological magazine or another ufological book. So what the articles dealing with exopolitics and ufology, with other articles which are taking related views, but of course not directly discussing this. I mean, they, for example, who are talking about how to build universal morality through a dialogue of cultures on Earth, which seems to be, of course, a precondition to entering into a fruitful relationship with other civilizations, or the general situation of the United States, the general situation of the world community in the context of globalization. So, you see, these matters keep the journal sufficiently broad and general in its appeal that we can get the exopolitical reality to be essentially admit by showing that this is not just some sort of specialized literature for buffs, you know, for UFO buffs. It is meant for policymakers, it is meant for academics, it is meant for anybody who has an independent mind and who wants to know more about the future.
Right, so that this issue, which will be coming out in mid-September, could be a way by which the exopolitical framework, and that is in the context of a new political science of outer space addressing relations between our civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe, could begin to enter and interface with advanced channels of our own culture.
True. We are hoping that this will be the effect. I think it will take a lot of repetition, a lot of insistence, and a lot of corroboration of facts to get people sort of off the fence. Because right now, a lot of very prominent scientists, technologists, and policymakers are sitting on the fence, not quite knowing where this is going. I mean, you have the recent statements by the chief astronomer of the Vatican, who essentially shows that the Church is preparing for contact by saying that, you know, there may be extraterrestrial brothers and they should be seen as such, and there is nothing in the Church doctrine that prevents Christians from accepting their existence. But, of course, everybody is worried about the meaning this has and what in what way it will manifest. In the sense, you see, there are the two scenarios. One is the Independence Day scenario. I'm talking about the film, which is, of course, a massive and rather brutal and aggressive incursion by very sophisticated spacecraft from elsewhere that essentially bring much of our civilization down and replace it with something else, whatever it is, and possibly bring chaos in their wake. The other scenario is the Close Encounters of the Third Kind scenario, again, I'm referring to the film, which predicts and or probably reflects the reality of a civilized, peaceful, diplomatic encounter that leads to a growing interaction and a sort of a soft integration with other civilizations from outside. Naturally, the essential point that everybody is concerned about is who will control this. Will it be the UN and therefore the global community, or will it be the USA with its closest allies within NATO, which is clearly the American expectation? I mean, the US has taken the position for a long time that the UN is broadly irrelevant except when it fits its own agenda, and that you cannot trust important decisions to a community of nations of whose members, like China and India, are much more populated and potentially much more powerful than the U.S. In the future, and therefore you do not want to give them that sort of power. You want to keep control over the global community through your military superiority, and it's no accident, I think, that the U.S. is spending 50% of the world's military expenditures in order to be by itself a greater power militarily than any other nation, and even all other nations put together. Now, this, of course, will lead and is already leading to a lot of conflicts, because to assume that you can lead humanity into the next stage as one nation through a military alliance, be it the G7 or NATO or whatever you want to call it, I think that is certainly going to be resented and not accepted, and perhaps the best way to bring about an alternative approach to this would be to break the embargo on the truth, to essentially bring about a disclosure at a global level of what has really been going on for the last 60 years at least.
Right, and of course the extraterrestrial civilizations, and there are different strata of them, are stakeholders in themselves and may have preferences as to how they wish to interact with the planet.
Yes, well, we assume that they do. The question is, who are we dealing with and who are we going to be dealing with? Will it be with a collective of civilizations, or will it be with one in particular? In fact, these are the mysteries that are so daunting that they essentially keep a lot of scientists and policymakers away, because, you know, by definition, policymakers like to make decisions, and when they feel the decisions are beyond their control, then they tend to shy away, because they feel that they have nothing to do or say about something. The same is true with scientists. Unless they can analyze some hard facts, some physical realities, they just don't think this concerns them. So they tend to say, well, this is metaphysics. You know, you can argue about it, but you don't really know what's going on. And I think that clearly many of the facts which have been suppressed by the military-industrial complex in some of the leading nations will have to be to come out, will have to be shared, so that the world community at large can make its own mind about this, can really understand what we are dealing with.
Yeah, there are almost two directions here. Certainly one major topic that seems to be looming very large is that of secrecy. And the secrecy with which the one major nation that appears to have had a secret extraterrestrial human liaison program over the last 50 years that we know of, that is the U.S., and has veiled it in secrecy. They've had, from what we know, from mainly from whistleblowers, although we also know it from extraterrestrial contactees like Jim Sparks. And that is that it appears as though the U.S. government may have maintained a 50-year extraterrestrial human liaison program with what we call the Small Grays, and that in return for a technology transfer of certain technologies such as time travel teleportation, such as anti-gravity craft, the Small Grays in return if what Jim Sparks says is true in his book, received permission to conduct genetic outreach and genetic farming programs that we know as the abduction programs?
Well, I think that if these were relying on one witness, of course, it would be very fragile as evidence, and a lot of scientists and policymakers would simply refuse to accept it. However, considering the number of relatively congruent testimonies coming sometimes from official or semi-official sources, one has to admit that there is something going on. The great doubt and the differences mostly deal with, have to do with the extent of the involvement. For example, if one admits that the U.S., for one, has developed a fleet of anti-gravity or electromagnetic craft, space and aircraft, and a secret space fleet, that would imply a very advanced stage of cooperation, at least retro engineering, with or without the cooperation of the aliens. And that seems to be at least partly true, or let's put it this way, likely. There is, of course, as you know, and I share that position, there is a very great difficulty in accepting that any human power, any state or organization would have developed such high technology for so long without essentially letting out more than it has, and without also in some way making that technology public. Because, you know, there is a point where technological advance requires admission and dissemination. You know what I mean? For example, if the British in the 18th century had invented the jet plane, they could not have continued to fight Napoleon with, you know, muskets and bayonets if they had been able to bomb his troops with their bombers, you know, the supersonic bombers. So naturally, there is a point where you just begin to doubt that the U.S., for example, would have flying saucers of their own, and yet they continue manufacturing lots of very antiquated and very outdated machines, both to fly in space and to fly in the air and to sail on the waters. So one has to wonder whether there isn't a lot of disinformation going on to try to convince us that the U.S. is so far ahead of everyone else that there is no point resisting them, and that one should accept their leadership.
That is a very good point. Conversely, getting back to India, India aspires to be a space power, and in fact is now engaged in the second moon race, along with China and the European powers, to reach the moon and perhaps even Mars. And we know from U.S. astronauts, like recently Scott McClellan came out and testified that he witnessed an 8-foot extraterrestrial inside the bay of one of the Apollo spacecraft on the way to or from the moon, and other of the Apollo astronauts who have witnessed, and in fact it's on film, have encountered either extraterrestrial craft, or some of the astronauts have reportedly encountered extraterrestrial craft when they landed on the moon. And there are reports that there are secret debriefings among U.S. astronauts of any extraterrestrial craft or beings that they encounter, and they're instructed not to talk about them in public. So that this is very much part of the U.S. space flight. And I'm wondering if India plans, and China and all these other countries do plan, to become space powers, well, then they should understand that space is a populated medium. How is it that India could pretend to go forward in space with the anomaly of not understanding that space is populated?
Well, that seems to be a fairly widespread belief. I don't think India is alone in that conception, which is today the publicly held view that space is empty and for us to conquer, and that there is no proof, you know, that's the official position, that there is no proof of advanced intelligent extraterrestrial life. So, in fact, not even proof of elementary extraterrestrial life, although we are coming close to admission of that. Anyway, the point is that I myself am quite curious about how India could have gone so far in its own space program without knowing more about this, and whether they would have learned it from the Russians, from the Americans, or from any of the powers with which they have cooperated. But then again, this entire issue has been kept in such secrecy that it is a matter of fact that very, very few people are aware at a fully informed and conscious level of what is going on. You may have seen on television a few days ago during the Beijing Olympics, the spokesperson of the Beijing Olympics organizing committee, I believe he was an Englishman, and he or maybe an American. Anyway, he was speaking on behalf of the committee, and this was probably a week before the end of the games, and they asked him how the games were going, and he said, and this was, I can't remember if it was on CNN or on the BBC, he said, listen, I think so far everything has gone very well, and we have a few more days to go, but unless aliens land in the middle of the bird nest stadium in Beijing, I think we'll be fine. We are not expecting any disruptions. So, you know, this was, of course, taken as a joke, but then he said it without with a straight face. So you do not know how much of it he knows and how much he's trying to convey.
Right. Well, you know, we're almost through this very fascinating and fast-paced segment. I believe that this issue of world affairs has tremendous potential to really begin a great awakening amongst both academia and perhaps even the space program and even officials in India, in China, and perhaps Europe, because it is a serious, World Affairs is a serious magazine that is read by many high-level scholars and academics and diplomats. And I wondered, how can our listeners read that issue? Will it be online? Can they go to a particular website and read it? Or
we have a website, worldaffairsjournal.com. So www.worldaffairsjournal.com. And there you can find summaries of the articles of the current issue. Of course, you can find in the archive section the past issues and past articles. And one of the articles is fully, you know, available on the website. The other articles, though, are only summarized, and the full version has to be either ordered or in hard copy or by email, in the sense that one can make a subscription either electronic or in hard copy. All instructions are provided on the website. And in fact, one of the articles is also put on the website of the Columbia University International Affairs Program, CHAONET. That's only accessible, however, to subscribers of the Columbia University International Affairs Department faculty. But that is another facility we provide. And for your information, what I'm now trying to do is, following this this issue of the journal, to have a group of select scientists of who are government advisors to issue a joint statement asking the Indian government to take a public position on the matter and to approach the UN through the General Assembly and eventually the Security Council to get humanity as a whole to take a common position and to implement the existing resolution of the UN to essentially brief member nations about the exopolitical reality.
Excellent. Is that the resolution that was passed in 1978?
That's right. That's right. The whole point would be to activate that resolution and ask that action be taken on it.
Oh, good. Because this year, 2008, is the 30th anniversary of that resolution, which was passed by the foresight of Sir Eric Gehry, as we know, the Prime Minister of Grenada. Are there any parting words you would like to say to our audience?
You know, I would like to thank you and commend you for the magnificent work you are doing in helping spread this reality as far and wide as possible. It may take more time before the truth is known and is accessible to most people, but we should keep working on it because we know that great scientific truths take one or two generations, sometimes more, to be accepted. It is not easy to change a paradigm, to create a paradigm shift, and to bring about a new awareness. And therefore, we have to work with patience towards that ultimate result.
Well, thank you very much. We've been with Comme Carpentier, who's speaking to us today from New Delhi, India, who is the editor of World Affairs, the Journal of International Issues, which is publishing a special issue in September of 2008 on exopolitics, which we urge you to access and read. And we will have that link to World Affairs magazine posted at www.exopolitics.com. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. You know, it's quite a perspective here that we're able, through the exopolitics frame, starting with the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communications, and take the continuity of a major extraterrestrial sighting like the Chicago O'Hare sighting of November 7th, 2006, which, so far as we know, no one else in either the exopolitics world or in the UFO world has really picked up and begun to say what the meaning of that major sighting is. And what the meaning of that major sighting is, and we've been saying it here on Exopolitics Radio, we said it in Washington, D.C. at the X conference. We've said it at many of the conferences, including at ISETI in the USA, where we've spoken. We'll be saying it in the article in World Affairs, the Journal of International Issues, that will be coming out, that this is a major signal from upper dimensional extraterrestrials saying that this is a key, that humanity's involvement in the democratic process is a key to the betterment of the planet. And they're saying that there's a direct line here in Chicago, starting with the stopping of the police state with a midterm election of 2006, the loss to the neocons, and the gaining and the winning back of both the Senate and the House of Representatives by the progressive forces of the Democrats. And now, with the long fight between Senator Clinton and Barack Obama, the victory by Barack Obama, the very generous concession by Senator Clinton to fully support him in the race, and now in the general election, how important it is in this fight, the upper dimensional extraterrestrials are giving a signal to the U.S. people and to the world of how important it is. I think that Barack Obama, who may well be a being of light, how important it is that he win the presidency of the United States, which may well have been foretold by many, many different sources. So this would indicate that all of us, including you listeners of Exopolitics Radio in now more than 60 countries, but most especially in the United States, where you have the vote, that you may want to get engaged and involved in the democratic process and ensure that an upper dimensional extraterrestrial being who is now here on the planet and who is cognizant and who may be, well, part of a plan of restorative justice to bring about a society whereby we can now begin to become and meet the standards of becoming a acceptable member of the Galactic Federation eventually and deemed acceptable for contact. So that is something that you may want to do between now and November 4th, 2008. And I certainly would urge that. And so this has been our voice here at Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Phoenix Productions of Phoenix, Arizona, which is at www.phoenixproductions.com. Director R.V. Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and most certainly light-being-enhanced day, week, and life. Thank you.